Well, I came to the Lord when I was 29. I was not shining very bright. In fact, when I was 29 years old, you could say that I was downright dim. I was a workaholic. I was the hardest working guy, and I wasn't getting to where I really wanted to be. I had alcohol and drugs as a diversion so that I could cope with not being where I wanted to be. And I realized in the June of 1989 that I was empty. I was walking down the street. I said, Lord, you can have my life. I have destroyed it. And in an instant, the Holy Spirit came in and transformed my life. I went from being empty to being full. Amen? And so we're in this series called Getting Along in the Kingdom. And it was the challenges in my life, my challenges that helped me step closer to the Lord, that helped me step into the kingdom. And what happens is the challenges of our life and the issues of our life and the problems of our life help us to grab on to kingdom solutions. Can I get anybody discovered that to be true? Kingdom solutions to fill your life and to deal with your pain. And the more that you grab onto those solutions, the closer you're going to get to the Lord. Amen? We're in this series called Getting Along in the Kingdom. And we've talked about solutions on dealing with pain. We've talked about solutions on how to deal with the people that are really messing with you. Anybody got anybody getting messed with? Drama in your life? Drama in the lives around you, and it keeps you down? Amen? The Lord will give you solutions and give you opportunity. Last week we talked about trying to bless the Lord, that we would get up in the morning and say, Lord, I am going to honor you all day. And I found as I tried to honor the Lord with my choices, that I got along a whole lot better with the people around me. And some of the people around me are going, yeah, that was a pretty good week. Now, I might have came to the kingdom empty, but I didn't come empty-handed. I came with a story. I was a workaholic. I was the son of a workaholic. I was an alcoholic, and I was hurting, and I was somebody who wanted to be full. I was empty. And I'm wondering this morning, what's your story? Because God gives you a story to fill up the kingdom. God gives me a story to fill up the kingdom. And God gives us a story to fill up this church. Amen? Today's title is Full Up. And we're going to take a look at what the Lord will do in us. Amen? Amen. All righty. We're going to talk first about opportunity. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verses 3 through 9. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. You know what a scoffer is? Scoffers, somebody says, this ain't going to happen. You must understand that scoffers are going to come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on since it has from the beginning of creation. You know people like that? God isn't coming back. But they deliberately forget how long ago by God's word that the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's plan is pointed at repentance. And God is patient. God gives opportunity for you to have eternal life, for me to have eternal life. Amen? There's people who say, that's not going to happen. There's people out there that scoff at God and say, you know, he isn't coming back. He isn't even close. He's not anywhere around. You see all the evil that is going on in the world today. Do you see the evil? You see that guy going in and shooting up a synagogue yesterday? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the guy sending out bombs to a bunch of our political leaders out there? There is evil that is going on today. Amen? And they said that if God was going to do something about it, he would have done it already. He would have been on the move. He's not coming back. And what they do is they take all of his creation that is intended to bring you into right relationship with him, and they call it random chance. And because it's random chance, that means that there really is no creator. And because there is no creator, that means there is no judgment. And that's what Peter is talking about here. Judgment. He says, if there is no judgment, then I really don't have to worry that much about a savior. Amen? But Peter says, God's on an entirely different schedule than you all are. That 1,000 days is like, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. He's not even thinking the way that you do. And what he does is he holds back on this judgment so that you and me have the opportunity to step into the kingdom of God. And he holds open that door so that you and me and people just like us can step right into that kingdom. Amen? And they're saying, why didn't he come back? He says, because he says when he comes back, there's going to be a lot of people that aren't happy. And God gives you a story. God gives you a story so that people just like you can hear that story and fill up the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Let's keep going. We'll take a look at John 3, 16 through 18. Maybe you've heard this verse before. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. For whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. See, Jesus opens the way to eternity. This is the investment that God makes in your eternal life. He gives his Son that whoever would believe would be transformed in their existence. I hope you believed in the Son. I hope you are transformed in your existence. See, Jesus came to pay for our sins on the cross. And he gives us the ability to step into eternal life. And eternal life speaks to duration, and it also speaks to quality. Because eternal life is going to last forever. But eternal life is also a change in the quality of our lives. Because Jesus paid for our sins on the cross, we are no longer condemned. And that means that we don't have to live in the fear of the Lord of being condemned for our sin. So we can live in openness and honesty. Rather than running away from God and trying to hide our shortcomings, we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, look how messed up I am. And then you can begin to address those issues that are creating such emptiness and such sorrow and pain in your life. Remember before when you did not know the Lord, how you would kind of couch all that stuff that was creating so much destruction in your life? Now we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, look how messed up I am. I need some help. I mentioned that to a young lady. Come on up here, Jocelyn. Ready to go on this mic there?
Yes.
She was real happy about coming up here today. Not really, she wasn't. But I need you to talk into that mic. Now, Jocelyn, you've been coming to church here. Put your hand up. You've been coming around here for several years, right? Many years, right? Maybe like 10 years? 9 years, all right? But in the last couple of months, God's been doing something, right? Tell it, what's God been doing in your heart?
Well,
yeah, just talking, it's good.
Lately this year, God's been blessing me, I guess, and I think he gave me challenges to see if I would still be faithful to him, and I think I've been pretty happy that I've been by his side lately this year.
Amen. Now we talked, and I know when you talked, remember you talking, you were going to move to the East Coast, and you were going to go to college in Utah,
yeah.
And then you're going to try to enlist in the Navy.
Yes.
And all those things weren't working out. They weren't coming through, and you were beginning to lose hope.
Yes.
And so it was on a Wednesday night, Wednesday before last, like 10 days ago.
Yes.
And you were sitting there, and you ended up praying with Gail.
Yes.
And so what changed? Because you've been here, and you've been putting your hand up and stuff. What changed on that Wednesday? What was different?
Well, what was different was that when Miss Gail prayed for me, it was it felt more refreshed. And I'm scared.
That's okay.
When she prayed for me, I really felt the Holy Spirit, and I felt like when she prayed, she used the right words rather than when I prayed for myself.
Now, I talked to Gail this morning. We're going to talk to Gail in a minute. She said that you prayed. And that you, she said, quote, that Jocelyn prayed this beautiful prayer. What did you say to God that night that you invited him to come into your life and transform you, transform Jocelyn?
I asked for hope, in a way. I asked that whatever you have planned for me, that I'm ready for it, and
now, that's a big shift right there, amen? Whatever you have ready for me, whatever you have planned for me, I'm ready for that.
Yes.
Now, I asked you, what has been different? You said you're praying with your cousins, you're praying at night, you're praying, a lot of prayer going on, amen?
Yes.
And you feel closer to the Lord.
Yes, I feel much closer this lately.
Amen. Amen. A little round of applause for Ms. Russell. Well done, ma'am. God opens a way to eternity, amen? And we got to take some steps. And God gives us the opportunity to take those steps and help other people take those steps. And that's what we're really going to be talking about today. We continue on. We're talking about with that opportunity comes purpose. Take a look at Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. The Bible says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And Jesus promises power for a witness. He promises kingdom power to his followers. And there's a lot of people. If you take a look at the news, you take a look at the streets, there's a lot of people that are interested in power. They say, I'll take some of that stuff. But Jesus wants us to know that the kingdom power that he is promising is tied to a kingdom purpose. And as we grab onto that kingdom purpose, we open ourselves to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, what Jesus is talking about with that power of the kingdom is tied into the Holy Spirit and the message of the kingdom. And the Holy Spirit will come into your life and energize you with a message of Jesus. Aaron Bugs, yesterday morning, was speaking to the men downstairs at the men's breakfast. And he was a tad energized. Can I get a witness on that, man? He was telling about what Jesus had done in him, about what Jesus was doing in the lives of around him, and it was an exciting thing to see. Now, there are a lot of people, when they see the tie to that power, they're not all that interested. I'm all fine with being energized, but I don't want to be that energized for Jesus. I got other stuff going on. My question for you is, what energizes you this morning? What gets you all fired up? Because the Lord gives you a story to fill up the kingdom. Amen? Let's keep going. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. These are evangelistic texts that we are taking a look at today. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he is expecting them to have a kingdom focus. He says to his disciples, "I want you to make disciples. I want you to disciple the nations. I want you to talk to and teach the people around you. Teach them my commands and teach them to obey my commands. To obey them, you're going to have to learn them." And that is what the kingdom looks like. People who are learning, people who are obeying, and people that are teaching. And I'm wondering this morning if you have a kingdom focus. Water baptism is that public declaration as you turn away from your old life and you turn back to the new life that is in the Lord. That we die to our old self and we receive that kingdom focus from the Lord, that purpose that would dominate the rest of our lives. And I'm wondering, what is number one on your priority list today? Are you learning, obeying, and discipling? Because that's how the kingdom gets filled. Jesus opens the door, lets us in. And he lets people just like us in. Gives you a message to the people that are around you, that you can take somebody with you, just like Jocelyn. Amen? All kingdom authority passes through Jesus. He says, you put a focus on the kingdom, and you help somebody else get in there as well. He'll give you a story, and you can fill up the kingdom. Gail Cano, come on up here, will you? Now, Gail sent me a text after that Wednesday night saying that she had prayed with Jocelyn. And we talked before service today. How did you become aware of what was going on in Jocelyn that night?
Well, that Wednesday night, Pastor Bob had said, break into groups of three and pray for each other. And so I was sitting near Jocelyn, and I said, what do you need prayer for? And she says, I need hope. Well, for me, that was like this big neon sign in the air. I said, you have come to the right place, because God is a God of hope.
Hallelujah. So, it was about halfway through the service, right? And we got done with the service, and you just didn't let it go. How did you approach her, and how did you get into prayer?
Well, while I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit just kept saying, she's ready for me, she's ready for me. So after church, I just said, I just want to talk to you about, you know, kind of clarify some things with you. And so I went over, you know, how Jesus is God, and how he died on the cross for our sins, and how we all have sin, and that we can ask for forgiveness and ask him into our life, and he changes us. And I said, do you want that? And she's like, yes, I do.
And so you started praying, and you said, she started praying, and she just
I told her, I said, you need to pray. And she's like, out loud? I said, yeah. And then, but I think the Holy Spirit took over because she just prayed a beautiful prayer.
Amen. Now, she asked me not to mention this. How long have you been studying? How long have you been studying the Word and knowing the Lord? You just say a long time.
43 years.
43 years. Thank you, Ms. Gail. The reason I ask that is because you can look at Gail, and it is so easy to think, well, she's Gail. Can I get a witness on that? She's been knowing the Lord 43 years. But here's the deal. God expects Gail to shine. But God expects Jocelyn to shine. God gives us a story. Each of us a story that we can share with people that are just like us. And they can come into the kingdom. You got a story. You can shine. Amen? And that's what we're going to finish our time with. Everybody's got a story. Acts chapter 22. We're going to take a look at Paul's story, okay? And you're going to use that as a pattern. Then Paul said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. Talking about Jerusalem there. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are here today. They were getting ready to kill him. I persecuted the followers of the way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as the high priest and all the council can themselves testify. I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. We're talking today about how to put together a testimony. Somebody change something back there, Danny? I'm not clicking anymore. Putting together your past. Amen. All righty. Paul's talking about this, talking to a crowd that is basically preparing to kill him. They want to stone him. And in that situation, it would be a common response to try to run away. Amen? Paul is looking to shine. Paul is looking for an opportunity to share his testimony. And he starts off with his background. He says, this is where I was born. This is where I was raised. This is what I did. I was a Pharisee. He goes, I was a committed Jew. I was as committed as any of you guys here today. And I was fired up to protect our nation from this poison called Christianity. That was what was important to me when I met Jesus. My question for you this morning, and there's a line on that sheet of your notes. If you got any kind of notes, there's a sheet. If you don't, get a piece of paper. I want to know what was important to you as you came to the Lord. I was trying to excel. I was trying to advance. Jocelyn was trying to get in the Navy, get in the college, get to the East Coast. She was trying to move. She was trying to do something. Paul was trying to hunt down Christians. What were you attempting to do? What was most important that was going on in your life as you came to the Lord? I just want you to just take a note. Danny's going to play a little music right here. In about 30 seconds. Think about what was most important in your life. Thank you, Dan. George, you got pens if you need a pen. There's a note on your sheet right there. What was most important in your life Everybody's going, oh, I wasn't ready for this. We got notes for you. George, you got some notes out there? Put your hand up. You want a piece of paper? We need paper back here, George. Up here. Here you go, Josh. Put your hand up if you want. Either the small notes or the big notes will work for you. Put your hand up. What was going on? What was most important that you had going on in your life as you came to the Lord? Paul was chasing down Christians. I was chasing money. What were you chasing? I'm going to give you 10 more seconds. All right, Danny, you can drop that down. Going to continue on with, click me over there too, Danny. So when you click on that, I can't, there we go. All right, about noon, it continues on right there at the next verse. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord, I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth. Whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. Step into the kingdom, and everything is going to change. Everything changed for Paul. Paul gives us the who, what, when, and where of how he met Jesus. I was hung over on a Saturday morning walking down the street in Sacramento. I said, God, you can have my life. I have destroyed it, and I was changed. The Holy Spirit came into my life, and I was never the same again. Jocelyn was sitting about in that same seat she's sitting in right now 10 days ago on a Wednesday night. She said, Lord, whatever you have prepared for me, I'm ready for. And the Holy Spirit came into her, and she's changed forever. I got three or four more lines there for you. Who, what, when, and where? Where were you at? Who were you with? What, when was it? And that last one is, what did you say? Because when you give your life to the Lord, you should be able to picture it in your mind. I was like, Jocelyn's sitting there praying with Gail right there. She's going to know in her mind where she was. You need to know where you were, and then you write down, who are you with? When was it? Now, I had to think. It was June of 1989, 29 years ago, right? And you might not know this specific time, but I know I was walking down the street in Sacramento. I know it was a Saturday morning, and I said, Lord, you can have my life because I've destroyed it, and I was transformed. Let me give you about a minute. Danny, you want to play some of that music for me? Stepped into the kingdom of God. Ten more seconds. This up later. All righty. Now, if you filled that out, That is all you need. Tell somebody, introduce somebody to Jesus. That's your story. It's real. Nobody can tell you it's not real. See, Jocelyn can say, I was sitting in a church on a Wednesday night, and you know what? Hope was gone. And I said to the Lord, whatever you have prepared for me, I'm ready for it. And I was changed. And then Gail mentioned the magic words. Do you want this now? Because you can tell somebody your story, but until you ask them, do you want this today? You really don't give them the opportunity to step through that door that Jesus is holding open for them. Who's that going to work? Well, for me, my testimony works for somebody who's empty. For Jocelyn, it's somebody who's lost hope. For you, your testimony works for all those people that are really wound up on what you thought was most important right before you gave your life to the Lord. God gives you a story. Jackie's story is different than Gail's story, is different than Javier's story, different than Paul's story. He gives us each a story to fill up the kingdom. He says, I want you to shine. Amen? Now, maybe this morning, you can come up, Melissa. Maybe this morning, you really don't have a story. You're thinking, when did I ever step into the kingdom of God? When did I ever surrender my life to the Lord the way Jocelyn did 10 days ago? And the Lord is saying, you've never done that. Well, the when in your life can be October 28th on a Sunday morning in San Diego. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, I don't know you, but I want to know you. I have all kinds of things prepared for you. Are you ready for them? Are you ready to give me your life? Because I'll give you mine. That makes sense? In other words, I'm saying, right now could be your time. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are good, mighty, and awesome. Lord, I thank you for all the stories that sit in here, Lord. I thank you for transformed lives. I thank you for new hope for Jocelyn. And I thank you, Lord, that you fill me up. And I thank you that you transform so many people here. But, Lord, for that person who sits here this morning who has never surrendered their life to you, who has never stepped foot into the kingdom, that you open that door and give them opportunity to step in this morning, Lord. We ask, is that something that you want to do right now? Because with nobody looking around, the Lord's speaking right to your heart saying, you know, I don't know you. You've never stepped in, but you can step in right now. And I'm wondering if the Lord is speaking to you, and you want to give your life to him, and you want to step into the kingdom with nobody looking around. That's you this morning. Say, Lord, I want in. I don't want to wait anymore. I want October 28th to be my day. Sunday morning, right about lunchtime, right before lunch, I stepped into the kingdom, and I've never been the same again. If that's you this morning, I just want you to slide your hand up and say, Lord, I want to come into the kingdom, and I want to be made brand new this morning. Anybody else would say, that's me this morning. I want to step into the kingdom of God right here. Somebody else would say, Lord, okay, I don't see that picture.